hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. We're streaming live on Facebook today. We're live on the radio, obviously. And then we have, if you can't get our station and you're out of the radar, you can get on the Paragon app on your phone, which is free. Punch on KECO and I'll be there. If you want to listen later, you can get on KECOFM.com and look up Today in Ag Show. Punch on that little tab and go listen to any of the shows you want to. Currently, right now, it is 70 degrees. Dew point is 27. That humidity is 20, so it's dropping like a rock. Wind southwest, 13 miles an hour. Wind gust, 17 miles an hour. So I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast here shortly and coming up in the show. Funny thing this morning, my boss here, the general manager, texted me this morning when I was sitting outside the studio talking on the phone or doing something. Texted me, he said, "What are you doing? Where you at? You saving lives? What? What's going on?" So I texted him back. I said, "Oh, was I supposed to come in today?" And I was sitting right outside the studio here, and then I walk in. He had a smile on his face. But no, I was out moving my side row irrigation. I moved it closer to the fence line, and I turned it on. I usually only turn it on for 4 to 6 hours, but because of the forecasted wind, I turned it on for about 10 hours so it doesn't blow away and end up over in Ouachita or Kiowa County. And anyway, water's running. I'm blessed to have water in a couple side rows, because out of five fields, looks like only two of them's going to be pretty good. And so, but first of all, I want to say from Sandy and me, Merry Christmas from our ranch and farm to yours, and may you find peace, joy, love, and hope these holiday seasons. So Merry Christmas, everybody, and next week we'll have a happy New Year's. So looking back on the year so far, you know, we've actually had a really good year. I know it's dry right now, but if you think back about last winter when we went into a drought that's ended up just as severe as this, but there wasn't a lot of hope come February or March, and boom, we started getting some rains, and the wheat crops weren't bumper crops, but they were good in quality crops, good in quality, and you know, they were average, just on the average by far, not a bumper crop, but we ended up making a crop. Peanuts got in, cotton got planted. Matter of fact, some of the cotton was planted a little late, and even some of the peanuts were planted a little later than normal because the ground was too wet. And so we were blessed, and it looked like, for the most part, everybody made pretty decent dry land cotton. Yeah, peanut crops were good. Diseases didn't take over. Cuttings of alfalfa were good. Even though the first and the second cutting, people, I think Jimmy Music, when he was in here in the studio from Sentinel 2 or 3 months ago, he was one of the first people I had on the show. You know, he was talking about, you know, I think, if I remember this right, 1,200 acres, and they didn't get one cutting put up without a sprinkler or a rain on it. But, you know, this helps for the next cutting of alfalfa, and then some people were getting their second cutting rained on. But you know, that's the thing about farming and ranching. You just don't know what's going to happen, and so it could be good, it could be bad, it could be fair. I mean, but we have to have people like you guys out here listening in our listening area from Texas Panhandle and all these counties here that's around Elk City, you know, it's people like you that make, that feed the world. So Merry Christmas to your family, and Merry Christmas to you. So anyway, well, you guys have been waiting for this, because you remember a few months ago, the I was talking about the cattle fever ticks down in Texas, and some of my wording put this show on the map, because everywhere I go, I get quizzed about it still. So anyway, funny or not, it put the show on the map. But anyway, I was reading this, and the fever tick information coming out of Texas, it's getting worse, and that tick fever destroys red blood cells, causing acute high fever, enlargement of the spleen and the liver, ultimately just resulting in death up to 90% of the cattle that get it. There was the numbers are just mind-boggling. Acreage in the counties down in South Texas, a lot of them right down there at the end of Texas there. I mean, Webb County, 165,404 acres quarantined. SAPTA, I hope I said that right, SAPTA County has 291,000 acres quarantined. Starr County has 29,000. Hidalgo has 46,000. Cameron County has 204,000. Willacy County has 172,000 acres. And some other counties have up to 12,000. But, you know, they've got 141 infested quarantine premises on ranches down there. And you guys know that South Texas, when we talk about a ranch, we're talking about a real ranch. I mean, not a necessarily a real ranch, but a big one, a huge one. And the ones that I worked on down there, the one ranch I worked on was like 66,000 acres. And the Briscoe Ranch that I worked on, he used to be the governor of Texas. And since King Ranch sold off part of theirs, it's the biggest ranch in Texas. It was 600,000 or 700,000 acres. Huge, huge ranch. But a lot of these, but some of these ranches are permanently quarantined. And it doesn't give an acreage. Oh, yeah, it does. There it goes. Permanent quarantine acreage. 190,000 acres of somebody's ranches down there is permanently quarantined, and nothing they can do about it, because the fever tick, the cattle fever tick, is very deadly to cattle, and we don't need it up here, you know. So they're having to hold it up down there. But the non-permanent quarantine zone acreages is 722,086 total acres that are quarantined. Nothing can be done with it right now, but if they keep testing and keep watching and none of the fever tick shows up, then they'll release them, because they've only released one area this year, and it was only 3,000 acres. That's the only area. Well, there's another one there, about 4,000 there. So 7,000 acres out of all those acres have been released. Well, I'm going to come back with some positive news on the cattle market, the cotton market, and I even have a Jimmy tip of the week coming in here out of the New Penny News. And then I have a really cool machinery mystery revealed. So stand by. You want to listen to that? I'll do that next segment. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. 71 degrees, humidity's 20, winds are out of south-southwest at 15 miles an hour, gusting up to 20 currently right now. There is a fire weather warning right now up till 6 p.m. this evening. So be careful out there. Don't be that guy. Anyway, I had a nice text in from Lawrence Ferris. He says, Merry Christmas. May the good Lord bless everyone on the radio listening or from the listening area. From Lawrence and Judy Ferris, we are still praying for rain. And I'm going to tell you, he's praying every morning at 7:30. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Gentlemen also text in, can they spray to kill the tick or while the cost, or would the cost be too much? You know what? That's a great question, and I'm going to do my homework. I know some people from the USDA down in that area that I met when I was working down there, and they might still be there, and I think I still have their number. I'll get you an answer, and maybe next week I'll text that back to you. Oh, that's my lady that calls me sweetie. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you that the other day. She's the one that was looking for a registered boyer buck with a big butt. Can you help me find one? And I asked her why she wanted one with a big butt. She said she just likes a good, very good muscled-up goat. So there's your answer. So anyway, thanks for texting in, guys. All right, here we go. There's hope. There's always hope, and a lot of prayers can be answered if you pray. In California, whether you like most of those people out there or not, I got friends that live out there or not, they just think a little different. You don't have to hate them. But there's some possible hope in California as a battle back from extreme and exceptional drought, and they have been in one. It's been bad out there, and it's coming in the form of a lot of snow. The National Weather Service says snowpack over the Sierras has increased dramatically in just the last 7 to 9 days. It comes from a series of storms that hit the region, the snow helping aid snowpack, which is crucial for the state's agriculture irrigation needs. Officials says the state's average snow water equivalent percentages of snowpack jumped from 19% on December 10th. It's 98% today. That's wonderful. The snow giving the state its wettest start to an all-important water year in more than 40 years. USDA meteorologist Brad Ripley says California could see another 6 or even 7 inches of snow or even more by the end of this month. So that in all will be very impressive. That'll be a very impressive month. We could be looking at a Sierra Nevada snow water equivalent seen as we start the new year, perhaps around 15 inches, and that puts us halfway through a normal year. It gives us all of January, February, and March to get the other 15 inches to put it up to a normal season. Despite the promising start, Ripley cautions that the long-term trend may not be as promising for moisture and drought outlook. Here's why I have to be a little pessimistic, he said, and that is the fact that we're coming off 2 years of drought in California, 7 years of drought in the last 10 years, and what that means is that we need an above-average snowpack this year to fully alleviate the drought impacts that have built up over the last 2 years. We'll need some of the initial snowfall and precipitation to help moisten the topsoil and to get the soil moisture profile reestablished. Secondly, you will need runoff to help fill the reservoirs. Ripley says realistically, the area needs at least 150% of the average snowfall to have a good chance of ending the drought by spring. And there you go. See, there's hope. And now, cotton. Don't expect the Disney heights of $1.21 per pound. By the way, cotton is at $1.09 cash market this morning per pound. But the cotton outlook appears relatively solid for 2022, bouncing up from 11.2 million acres planted in 2021. The cotton belt could see 12 million acres planted in 2022. And possibly more. Just everything's going to be dependent on the La Nina that we got going on right now in Texas and Oklahoma. The wild card, he says. How wide might cotton's blanket stretch in 2022? Scott Stiles, extension economist with the University of Arkansas, sees 12 million acres as a ballpark figure. Certainly, we've seen some back off from the extremely high fall prices of 2021. But what you've still got to remember is December prices trading nearly 90 cents. That's historically attractive price to growers, and it's been above. I haven't seen it. It got down below a dollar a short time in December, but it's been just hanging in right there above a dollar all December. Right now, I'd guess acres climb about 900,000 acres and get us back to around 12 million acres. In concordance with Stiles, John Robinson, Texas A&M Extension cotton economist, projects approximately 12 million acres with significant upward leeway. I think we'll go over 12 million acres, and I have a big question mark over the dryness of La Nina. We all have that big question mark. Texas, the perennial U.S. cotton giant with a footprint covering well over half of the nationwide acres each year, is currently under a La Nina advisory. Translated, cotton growers face drought conditions, a heavyweight concern at planting, particularly for the Texas' largest percentage of dryland growers. When it's this dry, and likely insurance price for cotton is going to be really high, farmers respond by planting more cotton. They put seed in the ground and see what happens. Considering La Nina, there's a possibility for 500,000 to 1 million more acres of cotton just in Texas. How much of that gets harvested is a separate matter, but I can certainly see how acreage numbers could go up. Stiles echoes concerns over dry conditions. Talk about a wild card. He said the La Nina effect is very real, and we all know that in our listening area right now. It's very real, and prices will respond if it goes on long enough. One way or the other, that could be a driver for the market. The Lubbock area received below normal rainfall from September to November this year. December tends to be a dry month as well. The High Plains region is now considered to be in a moderate or severe drought. The cotton market will be following this closely in the months ahead. And I just seen the new update on the drought monitor a while ago, and it's still got parts of Jackson County, Harmon, Greer, and Beckham County in the D3, which is the dark red. And so we're in it. I didn't see any in Roger Mills, and I know you guys are dry up there, but I'm just going on what the USDA provides me over the internet. Planted acres and harvested acres often are separate topics in the Cotton Belt, and the difference frequently are not resolved until the approach of fall. A possible weather market situation in 2022 could keep prices supported. There is a potential for strong prices in 2022, but I think we'll return to more of the supply and demand for prices, which should put us back in the 80s and 90 cents per pound deal. Not likely over a dollar by next harvest, but still room for strong prices. Cotton price stories back dates back roughly 20 months, according to Stiles, and relates to dual key factors. First is a record world meal use. We came out of COVID and the general economy opened. And now you see the USDA projecting numbers of just over 124 million bales in meal use for the 2021 marketing year. That's a record. Second, if inflation is on the horizon, money tends to move into the commodity markets. Speculative money started moving to the long, which is the buy side, of the cotton market during April of 2020, when cotton was trading in the low 50 cent area. It was a bargain, and they rode it to well over a buck. So there you have it. Cotton, looks like we're probably going to have some more cotton planting around here, if I was guessing right. Well, anyway, we'll be back. I'll talk to you. I got some tricks that this guy had on the ag web about some stuff he learned on the farm with screws, flat washers, bolts, the whole nine yards. This is really interesting. So you guys just hang tight with me, and I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 10th. 1,715 head were sold. Six head of steers at 357 brought 229. Four at 541 brought 158. Nine at 628 brought 144. Six at 664 brought 142. Ten at 749 brought 151. 13 at 983 brought 142.50. Ten head of heifers at 349 brought 159. Four at 440 brought 138. Six at 535 brought 141.50. 12 at 608 brought 132.50. Seven at 697 brought 136. 17 at 1046 brought 122.25. Butcher cows were 10 to 84. Bred cows 600 to 1470. Butcher bulls 35 to 94. Pairs brought 1150 to 1625. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
71 degrees. Winds out of the south southwest at 15 miles an hour. Wind gusts 20 miles an hour. You know, sometimes you just gotta call it. Well, I get a text from one of those tough Roger Mills rancher and farmers up there, and he has to blow this thing up probably 15 times, and you still got to take a little microscope and look at it. There's a corner of Roger Mills County in the D3 now, in the red zone. So anyway, my bad. I was putting out fake news. We can include Roger Mills in there with Greer County, Beckham, Harmon, and parts of Jackson now. And that'll get one of my listeners pacified that I mentioned Roger Mills County in there. Speaking of Monty Tucker that sent that to me, you guys know that it's not too late to go to one of your local processors like Route 66, Keith's Butcher Shop, Studio 54, any processor around and buy some beef for somebody for Christmas. It's not too late. And as everybody's griping them, I've seen stuff on social media. You really need to do your homework when you look at stuff and not blow up on social media. And I used to be bad about it. And that was before I come to work at the radio station. And I didn't want to be putting out fake news there and then having everybody call my bluff on it or quit listening to me because I was full of it. But they, you know, meat is high. There's no doubt at the grocery store. But, you know, the grocery store is after the processor, and they got to mark it up for their profit margin. It's called business. That's all it is. But sometimes if you're looking for quantity and quality beef and you want to fill your freezer up, we have all kinds of people in our listening area, Eastern Texas Panhandle, Greer, Jackson, Harmon, Roger Mills, Beckham, Worstall, Kiowa, Custer, Ellis, I'm going to miss some of the counties, but there's people around that are feeding cattle to butcher. Go buy you some. Put it in your freezer. If you need any information how big a freezer you need, those buyers or those sellers of that beef, that raise that beef to sell, or even the processor, they know exactly, you'll know how much room you need in the freezer for a quarter, half, three quarter, whole, whatever. But if you just get her done, it's the only way to go. And you don't have to pay sales tax on it. That's another good thing. Well, anyway, in case you've ever wondered, this is Four Machinery Mysteries Revealed. I thought this was cool. No matter how long you've worked on farm equipment, there's always things to learn. This gentleman, in the last past few years, I finally learned or understood. Number one, a screw has threads on it all the way to the bottom of its head. In parts books, what a farmer would call a 3/4 by 3 inch bolt would be listed as a screw. If its shank was fully threaded, according to engineers, a bolt has some portion of the shank without threads. Not a screw. It's a bolt. Quality flat washers have a top and bottom. Look carefully at the edges of the hole. If one edge is a sharp right angle and the other edge has a taper, that tapered, chamfered edge should rest against the underside of the bolt's head. The junction between a bolt's head and its shank isn't a sharp right angle, so having a rounded or chamfered edge on the washer prevents stress cracking between the bolt and the washer. Now, I didn't know that, but now I'm going to pay attention to what I'm doing out there because I'm always working on something, believe me. How far should a bolt protrude through a nut to obtain maximum strength from the threads? If two threads are protruding beyond the nut, maximum connecting strength has been achieved. So I was told by an engineer at a bolt manufacturing plant. So you need to have at least two threads all the way through sticking out past the nut. And I'll be honest with you, I think I have some of that that's not going on. So anyway, the engineer also assured me that the flange head bolt or nut properly tightened to the recommended torque holds as well as a plain hex bolt nut bolt. Let me restart that over. Holds as well as a plain hex head nut and bolt with a lock washer, especially if it's a flanged head nut bolt with serrations on the underside of the head. And I'm pretty sure that's what I got on the front of my Swather that hold the big tires on. So that's what we got there, the flange head, them big old metric bolts. Anyway, there's your some tips of the day there. So a couple of those I really didn't know. Well, some good news out of Missouri. This gentleman that wrote this story said, the day before writing this column, I joined the Missouri Governor Mike Parson on a conference call with officials from three Israeli companies looking for a place to bring jobs and technology to the United States. The technology could be impactful for the beef and dairy sectors, two areas of strength for Missouri. The jobs, well, you understand the importance of creating new jobs in our state. This is a story that needs to happen in every state. I'm proud to say that these potential new businesses are on a continuation of exciting news about jobs and expansion in 2021 and in 2022. Well, this one county down there in last month was very thrilled. They learned that the family-owned American Food Groups has chosen Missouri, specifically Warren County. I've been down there for a new state-of-the-art beef processing facility. At full capacity, the plant will employ 1,300 people and process 2,400 head a day. It's great news for the state of Missouri. Hopefully one of these days we'll get one of them great big processors out here. But meanwhile, we got a great number and great facilities around here for the small processor. The project was the result of a team effort from the local community as well as the Missouri Departments of Economic Development, Natural Resources, and Agriculture. The entire region will benefit from this new plant, and we are excited to watch it develop from the ground up. Last spring, the Missouri Prime Beef Packers opened for business in an already existing plant near Pleasant Hope in southwest Missouri. The plant employs nearly 300 people from the area and can process 500 head a day. One day each week is dedicated to Show Me Beef brand, which promotes beef born, raised, finished, and harvested in Missouri. You can find Show Me Beef in retail outlets all across Missouri with a tremendous way to showcase the beef industry, which we continue to be the national leader. If there's anything that the pandemic has showed, it's that consumers want to buy local product. Dang right they do, or if they don't, they need to. They want to know where their food comes from and the farmer or rancher who grew it or raised it. Consumer interest peaked with the meat cases were empty at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, when everybody went out and bought all the beef and bought all the toilet paper, that's when that happened. COVID-19 processing facilities across the nation shut down some plants entirely for days or even weeks as these plants remained closed and chains didn't move and live animals bottlenecked on farms and ranches in Missouri and many other states and feedlots. I can tell you for one thing, were packed full. Those bottlenecks left many livestock producers scrambling for places to go with ready-to-harvest animals. It wasn't long before our small and medium-sized plants were at and well beyond processing capacity. I'm sure you heard the stories of processors booked through 2021 and into 2022. Yes, we all have. The Missouri legislature also saw the need to provide $20 million in CARES Act funding for expansion of meat processing. They did the same thing here in Oklahoma. It was under the guidance of OSU at Stillwater. And there are some of our meat processors in our listening area that benefited from that. Our team turned those dollars around into a form of a grant in less than 6 months. And I'm proud to say that today, Missouri is the home of 27 additional inspected facilities that since the start of the pandemic, that there's twice the processing capacity in our state. The number will continue to rise as 9 facilities have applied to become state-inspected plants in 2022, and we have one, I'm not going to guess on our other processors we have around here, but I know for a fact, because I stop by there on my way home every now and then, and Route 66 over at Sayre, they are state-inspected. Not all states have state inspection options for their producers. I am so pleased that the Missouri Department of Agriculture can provide this service to our state. And myself, I'm so pleased that the state of Oklahoma can provide that for us too. The growth in meat processing is positive in so many ways. Livestock producers have more options for their product, not only more choices of facilities, but also simply the opportunity to finish more animals in Missouri rather than shipping them out of state after weaning. An increase in retained animals means more feed, more supplies purchased in our local co-ops and feed stores. Amen. them are all positives for rural Missouri, but it's also positive for us. And I couldn't say I couldn't have said it any better. Think about that. If you buy local from local ranchers that feed out their steers, they're buying, or steers and heifers, no matter, their cattle, they're also benefiting our local economy by coming into Elk City, going to Hobart, going to Weatherford, Clinton, wherever, and buying feed locally or buying it from a farmer right out of his farm. Because I didn't realize how much until I started the show. I knew we had corn raised around here, but I had never realized how much corn's actually raised in Kiowa County, Greer, Jackson, Beckham. I did not ever know that till I started doing this show, and I'm impressed. I mean, no, we're not the panhandle of Texas or panhandle of Oklahoma or Kansas raising all that corn that they do, or Iowa and up in that area, but we raise quite a bit. So some of these guys that are feeding out cattle here, they go buy corn directly from those guys off the farm. And that way, those guys don't have to mess with storing it, don't have to take it to the Tulsa, to the port, and have it shipped down to Louisiana, just whatever. So it's good for everybody. And it's bottom line is, it's good for the, and the most important, I think, it's good for the customer. The consumers are the number one people out there that farmers and ranchers want to satisfy. Because without you guys, nobody's buying any product. So if you're not buying any product, these guys out here ain't doing very good. So these guys do the best to raise the best, some of the best, if not the best beef in the world, right here in our listening area, believe it or not. Because I've tasted a lot of these guys' different beef around here, and it's really good. And I can't even pat myself on the back. The ones I raised, the 4 to 12 a year for butchering, it's pretty good. So anyway, for consumers, there are more locations to purchase local proteins. Many Missouri processors also have storefronts that they sell other products to complement your meat purchases, such as rubs and barbecue sauces. We love when these items are also produced by Missouri companies. So many of them can be found through the Missouri Grow Program. But anyway, that was just a good story. What's going on? And you guys know how I kind of harp on buying local, the whole nine yards. Yeah, and I went into Agritech there, SEI Agritech here on, Randall here the other day. And went in there. They got rubs and stuff. They sell beef in a freezer in there. I didn't know it. I mean, I just didn't know it. Now I know it. And now you know it. Oh, before I forget, yesterday we was talking about my little trip with Coach Lewis up to Visalia the other day. And I don't know if anybody around here does it. They probably do. But they got the coolest corner post for fence building you ever seen. These are 4.5-inch OD with 2 7/8 in between. But it's not L-shaped. It's got one of the sides of the H brace or corner post has the 5.5-inch pipe on it where it can swivel in the very corner one, the run right in the very corner at 90 degrees. So that way you can fold it down to haul it. You ain't got to have a big trailer to haul it, and fit it right back on the back of my truck, laid down there just cool as heck. And you know, I have the Dewey's bed, so I extended the arms out because I got some 10-foot H braces, double H braces, and put them out there, and my little Dewey's arms was sitting there. There was no pressure. I was a little overweight probably coming home, not bad, but it just hauled easy. And then when you get it out here to the where you're going to build your fence, your corner post, you just swivel it out to where you want it, set it down, mark your holes, put it in there, and if you're a degree or two off, you can move it. You don't have to worry about digging your hole any bigger. You can just adjust it to what it is. It's pretty cool, and I got that from Everett's. I get all my corner stuff and piping and stuff from them. Matter of fact, my welder's sitting on a skid that Everett built for me up there. My little Lincoln Ranger sitting on there. Got oxygen bottle mounts and the whole nine yards on it. Well, anyway, when I come back, we're going to finish up for our Christmas holiday weekend. Got one or two more things to talk about, cattle and the Long Ranger, provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting the second annual Ag Tech Open Invitational this January 15th. Be at the Western Equipment John Deere dealership in Plainview, Texas, for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $25,000 in prizes. This competition is for any high school junior or senior that has an interest in mechanics, agriculture, or who just wants to win prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. There will be a career expo to learn all about Western Equipment and job opportunities to pursue within the company. There are limited spots, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, December 14th, we sold 1,069 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, December 16th, we sold 2,674 kids and feeders for a total of 3,743 cattle for the week. We will be closed for 2 weeks. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th. Tuesday, better killing cows brought 69 to 782. Then cows bring 40 up to 59.5. Bulls bring 60 to 95. 2-day-year-old bred cows, 885 to 1085. With a 2 to 4-year-old pairs bringing 1550. 100 steer cattle, 11 steers weighing 284, bring 232. 3 to 350 steers, $2 to 230. 19 steers weighing 405, bring 235. 450 to 5 weights, 178.50 to 206. 6 to 650, 148 to 168. 7 to 750, 142 to 158, 8 to 850, 145 to 158 and a quarter, 9 to 950, 148 to 152, and 42 steers weighing 1,001, bring 145.50. On our heifers, 7 heifers weighing 230, bring 230, 3 to 350, 168 to 208, 4 to 450, 157 to 170, 5 to 550, 138 to 152, 6 to 650, 135 to 146 and a half, 7 to 750, 141 to 145.50, and 8 day 50, 147.50 to 148, and 9 heifers weighing 918, bring 130. Again, this is our last sale for this year. We definitely appreciate your business. We hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th. Thanks, Kim, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in HiPro Feeds. At HiPro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local HiPro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Thanks for the text. Merry Christmas. And anyway, Merry Christmas to you too. I said Merry Christmas, Jimmy. Anyway, Merry Christmas to you. All right, here's a Long Ranger. Let me hit that deal there and make sure she's all up to stuff. The winds are slowly coming up. We are in a fire weather warning until 6 p.m. tonight. And don't forget, or please remember, my wife's probably already texting me already because I said don't forget. Anyway, 71 degrees currently right now. Wind 16 miles an hour out of the south with gusts up to 22. Today, mostly cloudy. Winds southwest out of 22, gusting up to 30. They kind of backed it off just a little bit, but it looks like it's going to hit tonight. So there's been a delay. So anyway, it's still coming. Everybody just be cautious out there. 81 today, 72 tomorrow for Christmas Day, 82 Sunday and breezy. Be like today or tomorrow. Actually, it's just going to be windy all weekend, looks like. Monday, 65 degrees. Tuesday, 73. So there's some cooler weather in the forecast. Moisture sneaking in next weekend, maybe, if everything sets up right. And we'll see what goes on with that weather. Well, this is for my friends out in the Texas Panhandle. I always do the Oklahoma Critical Fire update, but I'm doing this for them today. Critical fire weather is forecast all the way through December 26th for the portions of North and West Texas, with December 24th holding the most potential for wildfire activity, particularly right out here in the Panhandle. So, anyway, the Texas A&M Forest Service has pre-positioned resources across that area, including 3 single-engine air tankers and an air attack platform in Childress. It's not too far from us. 2 large air tankers and an aerial supervision module in Abilene to support the suppression efforts as requested. If you guys have never seen one of those planes land to get water, I've seen them work in Foss Lake, and I've seen them do it up Canton. That's coolest stuff ever. I mean, I hated something's on fire, but man, they just get in there, skid right along there, and fill that tank up. It's pretty cool. While wildfire potential increases through the weekend, is strong winds above normal temperatures and low humidity align with dry fuels, said Mr. Brad Smith. He's with the Texas A&M Forest Service Predictive Services Department. The footprint of critically dry fuels will continue to expand south and east as we experience above normal temperatures and little rainfall. He wants everybody in Texas, and I'm just going to throw Oklahoma in there. He said 90% of wildfires in Texas are human-caused, and during the winter holiday season, debris burning and equipment use make up for 68% of all wildfires. These starts include brush pile burnings, burning leaves, unsafe burning of household trash, loose trailer chains, welding, and more, said Ms. Karen Stafford with the Texas A&M Forest Service. We urge Texans to be mindful of any outdoor activity that may cause a spark this holiday. If you want to check for local burn bans, you can go to TFS website, which that sounds like Texas Forest Service web, .tamu.edu, burn bans. There you get on that. But in Texas, careless debris burning causes the largest number of human-caused wildfires. For example, unsafe burning of a wrapping paper, gift boxes, and Christmas trees after the holiday could spark outdoor fires. I'm going to stop right there. If you guys got Christmas trees you need to get rid of, I think there's a dump area for Elk City, but I'm talking about everybody listening, our whole listening area. Call your local game warden or somebody and see if one of the lakes would love to have your Christmas tree to put in brush piles for crappie fishing. One of my favorite deals to go crappie fishing. Anyway, when burning debris, always check with local officials first. Burn responsibly by keeping your burn pile small, locating the pile at least 150 feet away from buildings, having a water source within reach in case the fire escapes, and staying with your fire until it is completely out. Then when you think it's out, hit it with water again because it's never out. For wrapping tape, paper, that's the test that always tells if paper is recyclable or not. If you scrunch a piece of paper into a ball in your hand and the paper stays in a ball, it can be recycled. I didn't know that. Only plain wrapping paper can be recycled, meaning no metallic glitter or textured paper, nor can tape, ribbons, or bows. Real Christmas trees are also recyclable and renewable. Check with your local waste management company, nearby garden center, or a local conservation organization to find out if Christmas trees recycling is available in your area. These trees can be mulched and even put into ponds and create fish habitats. Man, I should have wrote this story. I was already saying that. Travel safety. A significant number of wildfires are started by equipment, including vehicles, each year. If you have plans to travel this holiday season, take the time to inspect your vehicle before you take it to the highways. Underinflated and failing tires are a significant wildfire hazard. That made me think about my flat yesterday. Lucky I didn't start a fire when I was going through there. It was, that smoke was boiling out from the speed truck before I got her shut down. As wheel rims produce sparks when they contact the pavement, ensure your tires have been checked for air pressure and any holes before traveling. And also, one more thing I'm going to add to that. Make sure your spare has got air in it. It sucks when you have a trailer on. Or yesterday, I was lucky I had enough air to get to Hutch's West Side and get some air put in it. But just make sure your spare has some air in it. Avoid driving and parking in tall, dry grass, as the underside of your vehicle may start wildfires if exposed to dry vegetation. Dragon chains might also create a spark, and that's one of the big ones there. Always secure your trailer safety chains to ensure they will not contact the road. And you can also do that by putting a zip tie around that hook under your little hole, under your hitch on your truck or car or whatever you got, to ensure that that chain will not pop off there. Because I know a lot of trailers I borrow from some buddies, those little safety latches on those safety hooks, the latch on the trailer, they've already broke them off, bent them off, or just took them off, because they can be annoying. When using fireworks, who uses fireworks during the holidays? I'm not even going to read into that. Don't use fireworks, what I'm going to say. Campfires. So if you're going to have a fire in the backyard just for the fun of it, don't do it. Just don't do anything. This is dry, so don't ruin the Christmas holidays by doing that. So anyway, well, again, we're at the end of the show, and I didn't get to cover my outlook optimism on the cattle. I'll do that this coming Monday. One quick note, the only thing I could find today on grains, wheat 826, corn 601, milo 604, bam, soybeans is $12.68 a bushel. Well, you guys have a great holiday. Again, Merry Christmas from my wife, Sandy, and me to all you farmers and ranchers and people that play in the ag industry. Have a great weekend. You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.